Hello and welcome to IndieInterviews.com, part of the IndieFeed.com network, a weekly radio show where we interview independent musicians to get their perspective on their music, their history, and the world around their art. On the show, your host Garrison Reed sits down with We Are Scientists. The band discusses filming comical videos, working with the Lonely Island guys, and the relationship between Pitchfork and major labels.
Are you nervous about this interview? Your heart, I can almost hear it.
I feel like he's taking a very interrogative position in the sort of basic instinct sense of that term.
Right.
If you think about those interrogation scenes, they're very hostile.
The band has taken a very hands-on approach to record promotion, video development, and site management. The band's humor is at their core, both on record, in the live banter, and in press interaction. Here's a clip of In Action from their 2006 release, With Love and Squalor.
Call on the faces, it'll take a second while I fall on my face like everyone else, and we can talk all we want, but all I can say is that I'm sorry, yeah, I'm sorry, but I'm never gonna do it again. Counting on my relevant friends, well, this keeps coming up again and again. If everybody knows how it's gonna end, why doesn't someone stop me? Because I'm sick of waking up on your floor for the sixth or seventh night in a row. I'm lying next to you in all of my clothes. Someone stop me. It's hard to rely on my rhythm section when they're all packing up and they're heading for the exit. Yeah, we're all about the same, a bunch of slaves to fashion who are tall, dark, and scared, and just praying for some action. How am I supposed to know what makes this happen?
The band is now on a national tour with friends Arctic Monkeys.
I read on the interview with Matt, you know, Picasso,
yeah,
that you have left the topic of having nothing to write and then now are writing about gripes.
It's true. Now, I'm writing about very specific grievances these days. And it's, well, when I say these days, I mean last time we actually wrote a song, which was months ago. But
what are they going to be? What are your grievances?
Oh, my God.
Sting.
Yeah. This guy finished off the chips a couple nights ago.
I did.
At South by Southwest.
Not by eating them. I just smashed them with a Gallagher-style mallet.
Yeah. He very nearly atomized them. They were dust. And then right when I walked up, and this is why it was annoying. I mean, it's fine. You know, they're all our chips. He can have as many as he wants.
Right.
But there was a big pile of dust, and right when I walked up, he went, hey, Keith.
Boom.
It was awful. So.
Yeah.
As one,
he went out. He went like, tried to get as many as he could into his body, but not the healthy way.
So you have no gripes right now.
Life is good. Look at this room.
Life's pretty
Look
sweet.
Look at this room. Got all the salami he can eat.
He's a vegetarian.
Yeah.
So he's so prohibited.
Gripe number one.
Yeah. Salami.
Thanks for all the salami,
room.
Friends.
So that's going to be the next record?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What is the band's approach to the music video process? You're making a lot of videos now.
We knock them out of the park.
Our approach is that we line them up, we slug them.
We go for home runs every time, and yeah. So far, it's been
a practice that's worked
50th
well
row or higher.
Are you nervous about this interview? Your heart, I can almost hear it.
I feel like he's taking a very interrogative position in the sort of basic instinct sense of that term.
Right.
If you think about those interrogation scenes, they're very hostile.
Right. But imperative. And aimed at solving murder mystery.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Much like this interview.
That's applicable, yeah, in more than just the simple,
true.
You know. Lexical
okay,
way really
well,
applies.
No, I'm glad we're
to the fundamentals of this, of the cause of
I suppose
this.
I should probably call my lawyer.
Yeah. No, don't worry, I've got some.
We're all friends.
Smarts, yeah.
We're all friends.
Right.
That's an age.
How did y'all meet up with
trick.
The Lonely Island guys?
How did we meet up with them?
Or like, how did that connection start?
Yeah, I mean, we all knew each other back when we were all just total losers.
Yeah.
There was
them more than us.
Yeah, always. Always.
Need to be said.
Yeah. Yeah, they were more total losers than we were. I mean, when we met them, had either of us, like, intimated that any one of the two camps could have been good for the other's career, it would have been wholly laughable.
But as a source,
much less both people. Now we're like mutually parasitic. It's wonderful.
Yeah,
us more than that.
Yeah, it's like whales in the ocean. They help each other.
Was there hesitation going to the major label and bypassing an indie situation?
I guess the situation was sort of that. All of the interest we had and all of our options essentially lied major label wise. And while you know there was a certain philosophical hesitation, I feel like ultimately it was sort of the decision between, working in an office and being in a band. So no, there wasn't.
Yeah, there wasn't.
And I mean, now when I think about it, I really don't think I would. There would necessarily be anything particularly preferable to being on an indie. I don't feel like our situation is very.
It doesn't seem to me people judge us based on our label much. I think they judge us based on our music. And a lot of people, you know, don't like the music because it's whatever, too poppy, too whatever. But I can't imagine they would think it was more interesting or legit if we were on, you know.
See, I definitely do think people hear the major label thing and have a certain reaction to it. But that doesn't really bother me at all.
I don't care about reactions to us as people. I'm talking about reactions to the music.
No, I think it affects people.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. I think we've definitely been regarded as a major label band. And I don't give a shit about that at all.
But you think people would... You think someone like Pitchfork would be inclined to find the music more interesting? And
You just chose the exact people I think would be more inclined to find it more interesting.
Yeah, that's why I chose them.
Yeah, absolutely.
You think we would have gotten a better review if we were on...
Yeah. I definitely do.
I don't know. I feel like, take Pitchfork as an example. I feel like their objections to our music were accurate. And, you know, for them, they seemed sincere in their objections. And I don't think they would have, you know, somehow decided that our music wasn't objectionable in that way if they had found a different... you know, logo on the back of the disc.
See, I think they would, because I feel like their objection... I don't feel like they had any...
It was preconceived. They already gave you, like, deducted certain number of points.
I didn't feel like it was a peculiarly, like, sour review. I think it said we had poppy songs.
It wasn't a sour numerical rating either.
I think the numerical rating was not commensurate with the actual review. I think the review was a better review than the numerical rating. Myself.
Maybe a point higher. Maybe. Certainly, I mean, maybe. But I also don't think it seemed inconsistent for them to give it a 6.7 and write what they did. I think the numerical rating was on the low side of what the words described.
See, I think if we had been a band with songs as, like, hooky as ours are on a really scrappy independent label, it would have seemed very valiant to them. Whereas now it seems sort of like...
That could be.
You know, painted by numbers.
That could be.
But I care not.
But then we also would not be touring.
Right, exactly. No, I'm not... That's what I'm saying is I don't regret it at all.
Yeah.
I feel like we're better off than we would have.
Was there any hesitation to release a UK and then wait a few months for the US?
Well, we hadn't intended to do that. And certainly when we... when that plan was initially proposed to us, we had some hesitation.
Yeah.
But I think that... there was a wisdom to it,
yeah,
which was very simple, and it was that come October, we had spent a total of about 2.5 weeks touring the U.S. in our entire 6 years as a band, so it seemed pretty ridiculous to release the album without having done even one real tour.
Yeah, I think rather than hesitation, there was a simple, you know, emotional withering for a moment. We were just like, that sucks. But yeah, it made absolute sense. I should have known that this would happen from the start. This kind of function's gonna have to fall apart. I guess before I would have sworn that we were friends. Maybe this problem points towards some larger trend. But I still all things about, but all the words that you said.
what has the band been with late night shows?
They're just the thing if you can't get to sleep, I think.
Yeah, performing on late shows.
Ah, there it
is. Is that what you have to do, interviewers?
Yeah. One interesting thing about late night television, from the performative perspective, is that it's taped in the early afternoon, which seems like just complete antithesis of late night TV.
Yeah, it involves a lot of acting. Yeah, as if it were 1 a.m.
You really have to invent a certain bleariness in your eyes.
Instead of being completely convenienced, you're like completely inconvenienced. Right, like rescheduling your day.
Right.
Instead of, I don't have anything to do.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, well, what would I be doing on Tuesday night at 1? It's fine that I show up at 1.
Let's tape a show.
Yeah.
I'd love to tape a show. No, yeah, instead they pick that period right between lunch and dinner when you've probably got 100 errands you need to be running. And instead they want you up on 52nd Street. It's just the last place. There's almost no errand you can sort of segue into from a late night taping on 52nd Street.
Yeah,
late night TV I think is more fun to watch than to actually perform on. Although Conan was the most fun I've had. So
Conan was pretty fun. And the one thing I would say about late night TV is I think in my experience it's often not that fun to watch.
I wasn't recommending viewership.
Right.
But I think it's even less fun to actually.
It sure can be.
Because you end up watching late night TV in the middle of the afternoon in a really crappy green room.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's far worse than watching
the,
it at home
the Carson
while
Daly,
you're in bed.
The Carson Daly green room was really nice.
That was
actually
a nice green room, actually.
That's out because it's in LA, yeah. So of course everything's nicer, yet somehow worse in LA. You know, that's actually the tour sports motto, which I think is partially responsible for some of the problems.
How have you felt with since the record came out? All the old recordings coming out on the web, like.
We've condoned it.
Yeah.
We've
accepted it.
We've given initially tacit approval, and I think in some small cases explicit approval. We don't have a problem with it. We have no interest in
that
re-releasing those recordings or in, making any money off them or in, bringing any light to the fact that they exist.
Right.
But,
yeah, exactly.
You know, for those diehard fans who care to actually do the research and listen to them, that's perfectly fine with us, I think.
That's their choice. It's like watching the Ring video.
Yeah. Sometimes you have to make the mistake in order to learn from it. You can't, your parents can't tell you all of life's lessons and expect you to just, really understand them on a gut level.
Yeah, it's a real trial by fire.
Yeah, exactly. People will only understand their mistakes if they listen to Safety Fun and Learning.
Thanks for listening to IndieInterviews.com, a weekly podcast where we interview independent musicians. More information about our guests today, We Are Scientists, can be found on their website, wearescientists.com. Music samples in the show are from their 2006 release, With Love and Squalor, available now on Virgin Records. For information on this release, visit virginmusic.com. For information, including a transcription of this interview, please visit IndieInterviews.com. For feedback on this podcast and the materials used in this production, send your thoughts to IndieInterviews@IndieInterviews.com. Thanks again, and see you next week.